Turning to Psalm 127, just to read this psalm before we commence our service together. It is the commencement of our service. We want to begin by the reading of Scripture, Psalm 127. The psalmist said, "Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Though children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Amen. May God bless even the reading of his word. Take your hymn book, please, and turn to the hymn number 695. "I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me." The hymn number 695, the page is 456. We'll stand and sing the five verses of this hymn together, please. prayer together. We'll seek the Lord just now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Seek the Lord. Our God, our Father, come by faith. We enter and approach thee, approach thy throne, and through the name that is above all other names, the name of our blessed Redeemer and Saviour Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We praise thee, dear Father, this evening, that thou didst love us, thou didst manifest and show us that love, and thou didst come into this world, love brought him down, my poor soul to redeem. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus would love me. And Lord, we bless thee, dear God, that Christ, Lord, we praise thee that the Son of God became the Son of Man and came and lived a life that was unthinkable, a life that we could never live. He lived it on our behalf. And then he went to the cruel cross. And there he was nailed by hands and feet and was crowned with a crown of thorns. And he shed his precious blood, the ransom price for sin. And thereby, there is a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. We thank thee that it was the blood of the God-man that was shed on Calvary's tree. And it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. We praise thee that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We rejoice in its efficacy. We thank thee, dear God, that it's able to cleanse every stain and every sin away. And thereby the sinner who's come into this house tonight, who by faith receives Christ the Saviour, will go home with the record slate clean. And Lord, they'll become a child of the Most High God. We rejoice, dear Father, for the event and the purpose to which we are gathered, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in song and recitation, Lord, in the preaching of the word. We pray that as the gospel goes forth tonight, that great help will be given. Help every boy and girl. How we thank thee for them, their life. Lord, we rejoice, dear God, in their keenness and, Lord, in their ability to learn. And we pray, dear Father, for each one and their families, dear God. We cry to thee that each will know the Saviour. And, Lord, that families will be united in Christ. And not be just simply maybe a mother saved. And, Lord, a child saved. But, Lord, fathers and mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles and boys and girls, Lord, family circles like Noah's family circle, all safely brought into the ark. Oh, Lord, answer prayer. And grant, dear God, the workings of thy Spirit among us. For we recognize that this is what we need. Help thy servant as he'll come and preach. Give him great power. And may the hand of God be upon him. And may he know, enabling as he brings forth the word of God. So bless our time together in every preaching house tonight, where the word is faithfully preached and where it will go forth. May the good hand of God be upon all thy servants. Lord, answer prayer. We thank thee for who thou art saving. Rejoice, dear God, hearing of souls being saved in recent days in the land. And we rejoice in this, dear Father. And we praise thee for it. Lord, save in this house tonight. Lord, do a miracle, we pray. And Lord, answer now these our petitions. We offer prayer in and through our Saviour's precious name. Amen and amen. So we're gathered again for Children's Day. Just where has the last year gone? Sure, it feels like only yesterday we listened to the children's song. But time for them is passing by, and soon they'll leave our care. So in their hearts we want to place the word of God with prayer. We trust that all they come to learn from God's own precious word will stay with them throughout their lives and bring them to know the Lord. So to every boy and girl not saved, and to all the adults too, we pray that Children's Day in Portland Owen will be the day of salvation for you. That is our prayer. And we trust that that is the case. We're glad to have our children with us tonight participating in our Children's Day service. They did so well this morning. We want them to do well this evening. And so we're going to have our first item here, song, our recitation. Mrs. McMullen's class are going to come and they're going to recite Psalm 23. And then they're going to sing to us the words, Jesus saves, what a wonderful Savior. So we're going to have Mrs. McMullen's class just at this time. Thank you.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He met me by toin and thing patter. He restored my soul. He led me to paths of freshness for his name's sake. I know I walk through the valleys of shadow of death, and I know you will fly with me, and thy word and thy staff they comfort me. By the pit and tail be fair in the pit of my heaven, and if I have a will wake up in the summer. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Very good. That's our junior class, our smallest class. We appreciate them coming and singing for us and reciting Psalm 23, the Shepherd's Psalm. What a wonderful thing to know the Shepherd, to know the Lord as your Shepherd. The Lord is my Shepherd. I shall not want. We're going to have a Bible recitation, the Ten Commandments, and Naomi and Abigail are going to come to the pulpit and they're going to recite for us at this time. Thank you.
The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3-17, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger which is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbour's.
Well, at 7 years of age, I think that's quite good, so it is, to know that by memory. That's memory. It's not on the screen there. And so I think it'd take me to 70 to learn all of those words. So well done, girls. We thank God for even the ability to retain these things. And the law, this is the law, the moral law of God, reminds us that we're sinners. The law could never save us. Even if we tried to comply to the law of God, we tried to adhere to every single commandment, we would fall short. And thank God, one came to fulfill the law, and that person was Jesus Christ. And through him, and knowing him savingly, thank God we can be assured of eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Now I know the choir is just itching to sing to you tonight. I want you to sing really well, boys and girls, because you know what? Some of your grannies and grandas, they haven't got good hearing. So you need to sing well. And the congregation, you play your part. Don't be looking cross at the children. Smile. You're allowed to smile in God's house. So the boys and girls, the young people, they're going to sing. Wide, wide is the ocean. One door and only one. Daniel was a man of prayer. And as I said this morning, some of these will be familiar to you as an adult. But there's two verses, and you're maybe not familiar with the second verse. You listen to the words as the boys and girls sing them, and I hope that I will move them forward. Okay, wide, wide is the ocean is our first one. Thank you, Rhoda. Thank you. That was good singing this evening. One book, and only one book the Father gave, inspired book, true book with power to save. And we believe in our Sunday school the great need of getting the Word of God into the minds and into the hearts of our boys and girls. We could try and school them in other things, and other places maybe do that, but we believe in centrality of the Word of God. We're going to have two young men, two of our oldest, in our Sunday school. We're going to have Luke and Isaac, and they're going to come and they're going to recite to us from John's Gospel and the chapter number 15.
John chapter 15, verses 1 to 13. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, for the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even though I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen.
We do appreciate the senior people of our Sunday school. They're singing with very small children, and we understand what that maybe feels like, but we're so glad of our younger and our older ones who come and sing along with the boys and girls. We really do appreciate it. We trust that the Lord will take them onward and upward with the Saviour. Now, the girls of our Sunday school, they've formed a little group. We haven't got a name for them yet, but we'll maybe get a name. The Portland Own. I don't know what we'll call them. If any ideas, we'll meet at the door. You can let us know. They're going to sing a lovely hymn. You're maybe be familiar with it. I have a shepherd, one I love so well. Now, I know girls, you're going to sing out really well. And we trust that it'll be a blessing even now as you listen to these words. Thank you. I'm looking down and I'm seeing very pleased grandparents and parents at that singing. That's very sweet, beautiful, lovely, and we appreciate even the children singing to us this evening. Two other young men going to recite to us, this time a poem, Noah and Ethan. And their poem is entitled, "Have Courage, My Boy, to Say No." Have courage, my boy, to say no. Listen to the words as they recite it to you.
You're starting today on life's journey, along a grand highway of life. You'll meet with a thousand temptations, each city with evil is rife. This world is a stage of excitement, there's danger wherever you go. But if you're tempted in weakness, have courage, my boy, to say no.
Sin's sweet smile may try to allure you, beware of its cunning and art. Whenever you see sin approaching, be guarded in haste to depart. The nightclubs and bars are inviting, decked out with their lights and their show. Should you be invited to enter, have courage, my boy, to say no.
Be careful in choosing companions, seek only the brave and the true, and stand by your friends when in trial, never changing the old from the new. And when by false friends you're tempted, the taste of the wine cup to know, with firmness, with patience, with kindness, have courage, my boy, to say no.
Encourage, my boy, lies your safety, when you the long journey begin. And trust in your heavenly Father, shall keep you unspotted from sin. Temptations will go on increasing, as streams from a river flow. But if you'd be true to your Saviour, you'll have courage, my boy, to say no.
A few lines of that poem says, the nightclubs and bars are inviting, decked out with their lights and their show. Should you be invited to enter, have courage, my boy, to say no. I trust that that will be the testimony of every young boy and girl, and every young person, an older person of the congregation. You know, it's good to say no at times, and may you always say no to sin. Well, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. We thank you for joining with us tonight. Lovely to have friends and family and all gathered to listen to the children, to the young people, at this our special Children's Day. How quickly years come and they go, and how soon they come and pass. And we're so thankful for all that has been done, all the teachers and all the parents who have helped out to make this day so special for us here in the congregation. We love our children. We pray for our children. We're so glad to have our children, so faithful, coming to the house of God, not only morning but also evening. That's a wonderful thing, as a pastor, to look down and to hear children singing in our gospel services. That's a wonderful thing. It's a thrilling thing. And we're so encouraged. And we want to say thank you, parents. Thank you for sending your children to our Sunday school. And if you know of others, we'll be glad of having them, even over the next number of weeks. And then a number of months' holiday will begin in the month of September. So if you have any children coming along, any grandchildren, please send them to our Sunday school. Let's get the Word of God into their young hearts. We want to also thank our sister, Miss Rhoda Laverty, for playing and stepping in. We really do appreciate, Rhoda, all that you've done. I know that you're very embarrassed sitting over there, but may the Lord bless you, and may you continue to use your talents for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sunday school does continue to the last Sunday at the end of June, so please remember that. Parents, send them along. And remember, boys and girls, after the meeting tonight, there'll be something for you at the door, young people, as you make your way out. Thanks to all who went out onto the street this afternoon for the gospel open air. According to the prayers we heard, we believe that you had a good time even this afternoon. Wednesday night we meet for a Bible study and prayer time. If you're a believer, you come along. We'll be continuing our studies and the ponderings and the Psalms, looking at another of the Psalms. Even on Wednesday night. 8 p.m. our Bible study and prayer time. Thursday night, 7:30, committee and session meetings. Remember that, brethren. Lord's Day services, 10:45, our Sunday school and Bible class, 12 noon. Family worship service followed by the communion service, the Lord's Supper, 6:30, the gospel service. The preacher next Lord's Day will be our brother, Mr. Chris Killam, who works among the addicted. He's coming to preach at both services next Lord's Day. I am going to Balmagurney, where God's servant heals from, where he ministers. And so I'm taking their Children's Day next Lord's Day. I would value prayer even with respect to that. I'll not say that it's at the back end of beyond, because I think I offended him. And he's very easily offended, so he is. He's not that long in the ministry, so he's not that far behind me. He'll develop rhinoceros skin at some stage, so he will. But it's good that God's servant has been along with us today, and we trust that God will help him tonight. Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, it's available there in the hallway table. Just to say at Presbytery, the Reverend Timothy Ormerod accepted the call to become the minister of Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church, and that's leaving Six Mile Cross Church without a minister. So pray for that vacant congregation. Now, the church barbecue, God willing, is on Friday week, and I think there's about 13 names there. Now, there's more than 13 people here tonight. So please put your name on the list. All are invited. You're all invited. The food is free, so that'll be something for you. You don't have to pay a penny, so you're more than welcome to come along. There'll be activities for the children. The list is in the hallway, just on the way out. Sign up either tonight, sign up on Wednesday night or on next Sunday. We do need to know with regard to catering arrangements. So invite family and friends. We'll be glad to have you. Ladies, you're having a day away at the end of June. There is a deposit to be paid, £10, or you want to pay it in full, see your sister Margaret Cameron in coming days. She's on the Covenanter trip, and there's others in the congregation who are on it as well. And so whenever Margaret returns, she'll return tomorrow. But you can get that money to her. I know that that would be appreciated. There are Bible club notes for those men who do speak at our Bible clubs. They're available there. They're in the hallway. Don't go home without them tonight, because you went home without them this morning. And so don't go home without them. They'll give you opportunity to look over that. And that's in the first week in July. We go out into the community. So we'll be over in Tubber Park there in Kalabaki for 2 nights, and then we'll come back here to Portland Owen in Garvaki Avenue for 3 nights. And then at the end of the summer, we'll have a church Bible club for boys and girls as well. So it is a busy time of the year. We don't close down church for July and August. We want to be busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. So keep those matters, please, in prayer. We'll have to do a little bit of outreach, so prepare for that before the end of June, please, and just listen out for the announcements with respect to that. Let's turn our hymn books. We'll change our position. 701. Come to the Saviour, make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. The hymn 701. We'll stand and sing this hymn. A favourite, I know, for many. A favourite at Children's Day, the singing of this hymn. 701, the page 459.
Tender is saying, come.
question is, will you gather in that eternal home? Well, that comes to you. You'll only ever gather into heaven if you come through Christ, who is the only way and who is the only door. Well, our young people, our children are going to come. They're going to sing their last three pieces, and they're going to sing 10 times, 100 times, as well as they have been singing. So come ahead, young people, boys and girls. We're going to sing "Long Before I Knew Him," and "God Is So Big," and "There Is a Savior from All Sin." Thank you.
Long before I knew him, Jesus died of me, left his home in heaven to die on Calvary, gave his life a ransom from sin to set me free. Long before I knew him, Jesus died for me. Long before I knew him, Jesus thought of me, left his home in heaven to die on Calvary, gave his life a ransom from sin to set me free. Long before I knew him, Jesus died for me.
Brilliant. Very well done. By God's amazing grace, we're saved. And that from all our sin. G-R-A-C-E, 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 salvations, all of grace. Thank God for that. We're glad to have the Reverend Patterson with us from our Balmagurney congregation. And he's going to come and bring the word of God just at this time. Thank you.
Good again to be here and to bring the Word of God to you again this evening. brother was saying about me being from the back end of beyond, and I have to be honest with you, I nearly get lost going home this afternoon. That's how. So I had to eat up my pie, but there we go. But no, it is great to be back, and we trust that what we said this morning was a challenge, that you've thought about it. And in keeping with the thought of going on a journey, we want to look tonight at someone who went on a bit of a journey, but it wasn't a good journey. And so I thought about maybe going on a holiday, a more positive journey this morning. But I want to think tonight about someone who went on a bad journey, you could say, really. But it turned out for good, turned out in him becoming a Christian. I want to look tonight at a man who perhaps you might not be too familiar with in the Bible. He's only mentioned a few times, but his name is Onesimus. That's some name, Onesimus. And we read about Onesimus in the book of Philemon. And the Apostle Paul met Philemon. Onesimus, and he wrote to Philemon about Onesimus, and he said this, and imagine someone saying this about you or for you. I'm sure the menfolk here, you would love to hear this. Well, in the book of Philemon, verse 18, we read, if he's wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Put that on mine account. I'm sure that if you owed somebody some money, and someone come up and said, well, I'll pay for that, or I'll square that debt, I'm sure you would like that. Well, that's essentially what Paul did for this man, Onesimus. And we're going to think about that tonight as we'll read about him just at the end of the New Testament there, some of the last few books, as we read about him in the book of Philemon. Let's pray, boys and girls and parents. So I taught you a drill this morning, A for arms folded, and B for bow our heads, and C for close our eyes. The ABCs of prayer. So let's talk to God and ask him for his help again. Tonight. Our Father and our God, we thank you for all that we have heard, both this morning and again this evening. We thank you, Lord, for reminding us that there's a time to say yes in life and a time to say no. We thank you, Lord, even for the example of young people in the Bible. Think of Daniel as he was tempted, and we read in the Bible that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of king's meat or the wine which he drank. We thank you, Lord, for young women like Esther, who recognized that there was a time and a purpose for her because she was able to say that she was come into the kingdom for such a time as this. We pray even for the children and for the young people here in this congregation that you will save them young in life, that they will hear the call that Samuel heard in the house of God as Jesus came and stood and called him by name. And we pray that knowing Jesus Christ, that you will enable them to be Daniels, to be Esthers, to be young men and women who, if nothing else, learn to say no whenever they have to say no. We thank you, Lord, for the parents again as well who have brought them so faithfully, who bring their children up in the fear and admonition of God. And we just pray tonight now that as we come to your word, as we come to look at this a slightly less familiar character in the Bible, we pray that you will instruct us, that you will teach us, and that you will speak to us all from his mistakes and then from what happened to him way over there in jail in Rome. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the man, as I've said, we're going to look at a man tonight, and his name is Onesimus. Now, Onesimus is represented by the man in the yellow, just in the picture there. And Onesimus, he had a very, very difficult job, boys and girls, because in Bible times, there were slaves. And Onesimus was a slave. Now, he wasn't a slave in Northern Ireland. He wasn't even a slave in England. He lived very, very far away in a town or a city called Colossae. Now, if you're wondering, well, where on earth is Colossae? Well, I mentioned about going on holidays this morning. And if you were to go on holiday to the land of Turkey, you would actually be in some of the same, similar place to where Onesimus was from. He was from Turkey, modern-day Turkey, in a place called Colossae. And as I've said, Onesimus was a slave, and he was a slave for this man Philemon, who Paul wrote to in the book of Philemon, who we have read about in the Bible tonight. Now, Philemon, he was quite a rich man, and he had an awful lot of slaves, and he was quite a kind man, I must say that. Sometimes when you think about someone who was a slave owner who had people work for him, you think, well, that was maybe a bit cruel of him. But Philemon was a very rich man, but a very kind man. And he would have looked after his slaves well. Philemon was a Christian. And he also opened up his house to have meetings, church meetings, and that's actually probably where a church would have started in his house. But Philemon was a kind man, but he had this slave named Onesimus. And Onesimus, you know, one day, just as I suppose as we all, maybe sometimes we get a little bit fed up, don't we? Maybe in school, or maybe some of the parents in work, you all have the Monday morning blues, and even believe it or not, ministers at times have the Monday morning blues, and sometimes we just get a bit fed up, and we think to ourselves, you know, it'd be better to go and do something else. I don't like being in school, I don't like being in the job that I'm in, and sometimes we have these little daydreams, and we think, wouldn't it be better if I was here, or better if I was there, or better doing this and that. And Philemon, or Onesimus, sorry, he started to think, well, you know, life must be something more to life than this terrible old slave business. So he started to, you can see him there dreaming there, just in the little bubble there, and he's thinking, concocting up, he's thinking about a plan in his head. Now his plan was this, boys and girls, and we've heard about the Ten Commandments tonight, we've heard how it's wrong to steal, and how it's a sin to steal. Well, this man, Onesimus, he concocted the plan that he was going to take from his very, very kind master, Philemon. He was going to steal, and he was going to run away with the money and get as far away from his master and ultimately from God as was possible. Now, it's one thing to have a dream like that and a silly dream like that. As the Bible talks about in Ecclesiastes, the wandering of the desire. Sometimes we have these things, but we really don't go through with them. I'm sure, Mum and Dad, you know what that's like. You have these thoughts, you have these dreams, these plans, but we don't go through with them. Well, guess what, boys and girls? Onesimus, he didn't just think about stealing from Onesimus. He went through with it. So one day when Philemon was maybe down in Colossae, maybe at the market getting a few things, maybe some food, maybe some supplies for his house, maybe some things to just make the church meetings a little bit easier to have in his house. He was away anyway from his house. And Onesimus, he decided, I'll not only think about it, but I'll do it. And so we see him here. We don't really know what he stole in the Bible, but people sort of believe it was money. And I kind of think it was money. And Onesimus, he came up with this plan. I'll steal money from my master, Philemon, even though he's good to me and even though he's kind to me, I'll steal from him and I'll run away from him and I'll get as far away as is possible from him. And you know, boys and girls, whilst we might not steal money or steal big things, the Bible makes it very, very clear, as we have heard tonight, we are to love God with everything that we have and we're to use all of our time, or as much as time as possible, and our talents, we're to use them for God. And we are to glorify and worship God with every aspect of our lives. And you know, boys and girls, sometimes we keep our things, we keep our talents, and we even keep our time, and we'll keep it for ourselves. And it doesn't have to be anything physical or something you could put your hand on. Sometimes we can steal from God, and we can steal other things. There's a question in the Bible, I think, is it in Malachi? And it asks this, would a man rob God? And you know, sometimes we can all rob God. And here's a young man, a young slave, and he took not only from his master, but he took from God. And he decided he would run away from God. And there's maybe someone here tonight, and you're thinking, well, you know, I don't mind Sunday school. I don't mind the children's meeting. I don't mind church. But, you know, I'd maybe just love to get away from it all. Be a bit like Jonah. Get as far away from God as was possible. Well, that's a very foolish thing, boys and girls and young people, because Onesimus here, he learned that that was a very, very foolish thing to think. And so here we have this man, Onesimus. He's taken from his master, Philemon, this kind master, just as God is a kind and loving master of us. He's taken from him, and he goes on the run. So if you don't know anything about Colossae, or maybe even Turkey, where Colossae was, the part of Colossae, part of Turkey that Onesimus was in, Onesimus in Colossae, there was a harbor or a port. And so Onesimus, a little bit like Jonah, he just made his way down to the port. You can see him here. He's dodging and he's ducking and he's diving. Maybe thinks to himself, well, Philemon, he's a rich man, and he's maybe told the police, and the police are now out looking for me. And you maybe see a Roman worker here. Colossae was under the Roman authority, under the Roman government. And he maybe sees a Roman worker here and he's hiding. because he thinks to himself, I just need to get a one-way ticket onto that boat, onto that ship, and then I'll be sorted. I'll be as happy as Larry, as happy as can be. But you know what, boys and girls, eventually Onesimus did find a ship to get on. So remember, he lived in Turkey. So I'm going to show you where he actually went to. He went from Colossae, the city of Colossae, and you can see it there, hopefully. He got a one-way ticket, got on a ship, and he headed over to Italy. So the parents, the mums and dads, they would call this a Mediterranean cruise. So they would today. But it just wouldn't have been a Mediterranean cruise now for Onesimus back 2,000 years ago. So I'm sure he wouldn't have had the nice luxuries that some of the cruises have today. But anyway, he jumped on a ship and he went to Rome, to Italy, far, far away. We have a picture of him here. He's maybe paid this man, the shipmaster, he's paid him an awful lot of money to get onto this boat. Remember, he's stolen money, he's taken money from Philemon. And so he's taken this money, he's paid his fare, and he thinks to himself now, that's it. I'm sorted. God will not find me all the way in Italy. Philemon certainly won't find me, my master. That's it. My old life, it's in the past. I can start afresh. Nobody really knows anything about me. Nobody knows that I've taken these things, that I've stolen, that I've sinned before God. I can just get on this ship, go to Rome, and have a great rest of my life. But you know what, boys and girls, and everybody that's here? He got to Rome, and as the Bible tells us, sin does have pleasure, but it only lasts for a season. It says that in the book of Hebrews about Moses. And old Onesimus, he had a great time at the start, you know. A great, great time. But you know what? Remember he probably stole money? Well, his money would have run out, wouldn't it? Well, you want to think of what happened whenever his money ran out. And this, well, it shouldn't surprise us, because he's done it before and he's going to do it again. Whenever his money ran out, boys and girls, you know what he did? He reverted back to his old thieving, stealing ways. He stole again. So maybe he went to a local market and he stole something. Obviously, he's run out of money. He needed to feed himself. And he went to a local market, or he did something, and he took something that didn't belong to him. He stole. But remember, boys and girls, and everybody was here, he got away with it the first time, or so he thought. He ran away, got on the ship, went straight to Italy, went straight to Rome, and he thought he got away with it. But now, of course, he thinks, well, I'll steal. I can get away with it again. But this time, as the book of Numbers tells us, be sure our sin will find us out. Be sure your sin will find you out. And Onesimus, he stole, but his sin found him out. You know what happened, boys and girls? He stole, but this time he was caught. And he was caught, and he was actually thrown in prison. And so there's a wee lesson for us all here tonight, that whether we are seen or whether we're not seen, whether we're caught or not caught, eventually, and this applies to everybody here, that our sin will always catch up with us. Will always catch up with us. And that's a good thing to remember. So you know, sometimes boys and girls will maybe do something and nobody else sees it. And we think we'll get away with it. But God sees everything. Everything we do. The book of Proverbs tells us his eyes, they run throughout the whole world. And they see everything you and I do. Whether nobody else sees it or not, God sees it. And God saw what Onesimus did the first time, and certainly the second time he saw it, and this time he was caught. So he's thrown in jail. And I'm sure it wasn't a very, very nice experience in jail. And I'm sure he thought to himself, well, this is it. This is me, I'm finished. I've may as well just sit here. I'm just going to waste away the rest of my life. But you know what? Whilst jail is not normally a nice thing for people, Onesimus met a lovely Christian gentleman in jail. He met someone who had been in jail. And this wasn't the first time that this man was put in jail now. Not Onesimus, but this other man. Because this man was in jail simply for preaching the gospel. And this man's name was the Apostle Paul. And he'd been put in jail at least once before, probably other times that we maybe aren't even aware of, but he was certainly been in jail before. And this man was placed in jail in Rome for preaching the gospel. And believe it or not, and Christians speak about this big word, providence. And providence simply means that God, he's in control of everything. That's just simply what it means. Well, this would make you absolutely be dumbfounded, boys and girls, because do you know what? The Apostle Paul, this man here, he's represented by this picture, he knew Philemon. He knew Onesimus' original master. And he knew all about Onesimus. So you remember, Onesimus thought he would have got away with it. But here's a man, years later, and he knew, because he used to preach in the meetings that Philemon had in his house in Colossae. And the Apostle Paul was a preacher, he was a missionary. And so he began to just sit with old Onesimus, and he began to talk to him. And you know what he did, boys and girls? He told him what you did, Philemon, or Onesimus, what you did in Philemon was wrong. It was wrong. You stole from him. He was your master. He was a good master to you. He provided for you. He cared for you. He loved you. And what you did was wrong. But he didn't stop there, because he actually told him how to become a Christian. And he said to Onesimus, look, you've done wrong before God, but you know what? Jesus died on the cross for your sin, and he rose again on the third day. And if you trust in him, you will have forgiveness for all of your sins. So all of the stealing, Onesimus, all of the running from God and running from your master, all of that, you can have forgiveness for it all. And of course, that's a reminder to us all tonight, isn't it? That no matter what we have done, whether we've stolen, whether we've wronged people, sometimes we're wrong people, and of course, all of our sins before God, we can have forgiveness. All of us here tonight can have forgiveness of sins. But Paul told Onesimus something else. He said, Onesimus, you know, whenever you get out of this jail, you're going to have to make things right. You're going to have to go all the way back to Turkey, to Colossae, and you're going to have to pay back the money that you owe. But that's where that verse comes in that I read tonight, because the Apostle Paul, just after telling him, you're going to have to go back and you're going to have to pay all of your debts, he said in Philemon verse 18, as he wrote a letter, and he gave that letter to Onesimus to give to Philemon, he said, Philemon, if he has wronged you, or he owes you anything, put that in mine account. In other words, I'll pay for it. That's a bit like you owing someone £100, another person just coming up and saying, there you are, there's the £100, it's paid in full, you don't have to pay for it yourself. And you know what? Onesimus, he agreed, he believed what Paul had said, and so we see him here simply in jail, of all places, boys and girls, in jail. He got down on his hands and his knees, and he asked Jesus to forgive him for his sins. Now eventually, Onesimus was led out of jail. And we have him here, he's being ousted, thrown out of jail. Taken away from jail. So he was taken, he was sent away from jail. And remember, Onesimus is now a Christian. So he's faced with this dilemma, do I go back to my master? To go back to Philemon? Do you make things right with him? Do you say I'm going to be your slave again? And so on. What do you do? And you know, this is one of the wonderful things about the Bible. For all of us here, the Bible doesn't actually tell us. It kind of closes the story. And it leaves us guessing what he did. The Bible, if you read the Bible carefully, it doesn't actually tell us, boys and girls, but you know what? I just have a sneaking suspicion that Onesimus did the right thing. Because he became a Christian, and he went back, and he went to Philemon, and he would have handed him the letter, and would have said, there you are, I owe you all this money, and I've stolen all this money from you. But you see, Paul said, put that in mine account. And so my account is settled. And you know, as we finish, it's not just a wonderful picture of what Jesus does for all who trust in him. We owe a great debt to God, everybody. We owe a great debt. Sin puts us in the minus before God. And yet when we think about Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, there's a chorus that we would sometimes sing with our young people. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has lost its crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. And that's a wonderful picture of what the story of Onesimus and Philemon really is. It's Jesus paying for all of your sins. And I trust tonight that everybody here, that everybody will know what old Onesimus knew: forgiveness of sins and Jesus Christ paying for all of your sins. I trust that we'll all know that here this evening. Hand back now to the Reverend Stuart. Thank you.
We'll unite in prayer. We'll just seek the Lord together. Let me thank the Reverend Patterson. Let me thank the boys and girls sitting so well. We appreciate that. If you would like to speak to the Reverend Patterson about spiritual matters, about having the forgiveness of your sins, to know peace with God, to have the settled debt, well, he would love to speak to you about that. He can't settle the debt for you, but he can point you to the one who settled the debt 2,000 years ago at the place called Calvary. Come to Christ, come to the cross, and receive the pardoning and the forgiveness of your sins. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we do rejoice in the debt that was paid. As the chorus says, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Christ Jesus, by his death, has washed my sins away. We rejoice, dear Father, tonight that one or all, many can leave this place having the debt of sin cancelled entirely because of the Savior's work upon the cross. We pray, O God, that thou wilt convict them of sin and trouble the soul about spiritual matters and crown this Children's Day with salvation. We think of others who have ran away from God, maybe backsliders among us tonight. Oh, may they return to the place where they ought to be. We think of Onesimus going back to the home of Philemon. And Lord, surely, dear God, the backslider ought to be where they need to be, among the fellowship of the saints. We realize, O God, that thou hast set us into families, spiritual families. And we pray, O God, that we may encourage one another, even in the things of God. And so part us with thy blessing. Take our thanks for help that has been given in every aspect of this day. And may we go home rejoicing, and take us all safely to our destination. And may we consider and mull and turn over in our minds these spiritual matters. And if they know, and men and women, boys and girls know not Christ, that tonight they'll come and put their faith and trust alone in Jesus Christ. We offer now these our prayers in and through the wondrous name of Jesus Christ. Amen.